Here's to the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the eight balls. Those people who think outside the box, the ones who aren't afraid to be different, who stand out from the rest of the crowd. They may be vilified, they may be bullied, they may even see that other side of the coin, they may be glorified. We see them as the brave ones, the ones who question authority, who question everything, and aren't afraid to stand up and challenge. These are the people who cause others to think, and cause others to question the status quo. This is Dominion Live Radio. Be different. Be yourselves.
It's the Brian Jasek Show for January 17th, 2014. My guest tonight, Matt DeBeal. Matt owns the Q101.com, the Q101 brand, and he owns the radio station AM 1530 WCKG here in Chicago. He's my guest tonight on Dominion Live Radio.
The only thing to fear is...
Q101 means alternative. This is Q101 music. This is alternative. This is Q101.
If it's alternative, it's Q101.
Welcome to Radio Free America. America's ready. I'm ready. I mean, I want a million voices crying out in the wilderness. Let's get serious.
Never give up.
Never surrender.
Oh, yes, we can.
And yes, we will.
You think one man don't make a difference? Think again. Cause I just started an army picking up a pen. Shit begins. A global collaboration to take the whole world and make the one nation. This ain't no imitation. What you're hearing is elite. That's why everything shocks when you hear us speak. Oh, back to the mission at hand. We got a plan. Take the message that we're sending and spread it across the land. It's in black and white. It's been written, been read. Now let every single syllable settle into your head. As the story resonates from your mind to your feet, we'll make the earthquake from off of this beat. Cause if you're hearing this right now, the battle's been won. It's spreading, my friend. The takeover has begun. This is our world, our streets, our war, our lives. This is what we fight for, our choice to make the wrong things right with our voice. We bring day to the night. This is our world, our streets, our war, our lives. This is what we fight for, our choice. We're the voice of the globe. Turn up the volume so everybody knows. This is our world, our streets, our war, our lives. This is what we fight for, our choice to make the wrong things right with our voice. We bring day to the night. This is our world, our streets, our war, our lives. This is what we fight for, our choice. We're the voice of the globe. Turn up the volume so everybody knows. This is our world, our streets, our war, our lives. This is what we fight for, our choice to make the wrong things right with our voice.
All right. Well, welcome. Let me give Matt a call.
Hello, it's Matt.
Matt, hi, it's Brian.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? Welcome. Welcome to Dominion Live. Good to talk to you.
Oh, Brian, yes. Yes, sir. Oh, gosh. Holy cow. That Brian.
Yeah, Brian Jasek.
It's great to talk with you.
Yeah, good. It's good to talk to you, too. Now... You own the brand Q101, and now do you run WCKG? You run or do you own WCKG 1530 AM?
Both.
You own both. Okay.
Yeah. I recently purchased. We just closed on the sale of WCKG on New Year's Eve. In fact.
Oh, that's cool.
So I am the proud owner of a. AM radio station and a iconic lifestyle brand.
Yeah.
Lucky me.
Yeah, there you go. Now, do you pronounce your last name the Bell or DeBile?
Neither. Dubiel.
What is it? Dubiel? Okay. I wanted to start Dubiel. Yeah, I want to make sure I start this off on the right foot because I can't even pronounce his last name. But okay, cool. So what interests you in purchasing, you know, the Q101 brand and WCKG? What drives you to do that?
mental illness, maybe. yeah, that's a great question. My wife asked me that question over and over again.
I love
the Q101 thing. Stems from. I'm sorry?
I said a love for radio. That would be my.
Yeah, definitely a love for radio, for sure. You know, I'm sort of a serial entrepreneur in very tiny ways, not in a, you know, like a Mark Cuban sort of a way, but it's fun to be creative and to use that creativity to create and you know, put businesses and ideas out there that help people, inspire people, entertain people, and that's sort of cool. Q101 specifically was near and dear to me. It was where I got my first paycheck in radio. I was an intern in the 90s, and I started with Wendy and Bill at The Loop. They were the night show at The Loop at the time.
Yeah.
And we all thought it was such a great show, and they had such huge potential. And The Loop was a great place to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're on at night and you're the night show, you're sort of the low man and woman on the totem pole at a place like The Loop where you have Brandmeier and all these other big shows. And a lot of us on the support staff were always, you know, sort of pumping up the idea of, well, Wendy and Bill, like, you guys could be doing mornings on any other station, Q101, B96, you name it, because they were hip, and before you know it, they pulled us all in, and they said, well, we're going to Q101, and we want everyone to come with us, and we all did, and I got my first check there from Emmis, because I started, you know, working and helping produce when the main guys were out of town, and so it was a big deal to me, and it was early, man, that was pre-internet. When I got my check at Q101, there was no Q101.com.
No. And it's interesting to see how I mean, if you look back, because that's really not that long ago. I mean, in the big picture, it really isn't. And to see how technology has changed since the Wendy and Bill time, we're talking what late 90s. That's only 10 years.
Yeah, I was with them 95, 96, and then they hung out there a little longer before ManCow took over mornings. But you're right. I mean, it's like yesterday, but it's also, in another way, it's like a million years ago. I feel both sides of that for sure.
Yeah. And radio isn't, I mean, Q101 and the importance. I've been reading on the internet people going, well, what's the big deal? It's just a letter. Well, in another market, it might just be just a letter. But in Chicago, Q101 represented, I mean, to me, and I think to a lot of people, something different. It was, you know, it wasn't voice-tracked like everything you hear on the radio now is voice-tracked, and it's probably what they're going to do over at 101.1 now. There's no, you lose the human side of what radio is, with this voice-tracking and this packaging. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same.
I do. You know, I think a lot of people talk about the mechanisms for entertainment or technology, like voice tracking, and it's bad, or this, that. You know, that aside, whether there's voice tracking or no voice tracking, what Q101 is and was to people is the same thing that, for instance, WLS is to my parents.
Sure, yeah.
You can trot out those letters, and they happen to be call letters for them, because back then, radio stations didn't have, like, brands. They were all about call letters. Back in the day, it wasn't WLS the pig, you know? It was just WLS. That was it.
Right.
And then in the 80s, they started doing this thing where they put a letter from the call letters in front of the number. But a funny thing happened with two brands in Chicago back then. One was B96,
sure,
and one was Q101. They became the de facto brands that are our generations and kind of different sides of the spectrum, because obviously B96's brand is the same generation, you know, if you grew up in the 80s and the 90s. But, you know, they were doing different things. But ultimately, what happened over the years from 92 on is Q101 became the lifestyle brand. You know, you listen to The Drive, for instance, 97.1 FM The Drive.
Sure.
They manufactured that station in the early 2000s, but what they did was they said, this is the soundtrack of our lives, and then they packaged it and presented it that way and did a phenomenal job aggregating all of the moments in time that were baby boomers' lives. And that is what Q101 is, and it's not. It doesn't have to be remanufactured. It's there. It happened. Chamboree, Twisted. I remember being at the Tibetan Freedom concert, and you know, Q101 was there. I remember, you know, being when Lance and Stoli were on the air, or then you know, other things happened in those station at that station throughout the years, and we took it with us, even though we were maybe a different generation, and it was a grungy time, and then it was a, you know, a hip-hop-y time. Q101 weathered all of that, and it is, in my mind, not a radio station.
Yeah.
It can be, and that's part of what it is. But it is a lifestyle, a generational lifestyle brand. And what happened over the years is that became not just Gen X, but then Gen Y and millennials. And now those three generations have this thing in common. And it's a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And really, ultimately, the only way to satiate the appetites of all those different people is to keep it online in the way that we're doing, and it will get better, where they can each have the Q101 that they know and remember, because as you know, and I know, you know, the Q101 of 97 is very different than the Q101 of 2001.
Oh yeah, yeah. Big time difference. Musically, it was interesting through the years to watch, to listen to it morph into something different. Like every year, I mean, it was different. The on-air people would change, the music would change. It was pretty cool. You're not going to get that. I mean, I don't think you're going to get that on radio today. I mean, I personally, I don't listen to radio as much as I used to because it's just people, it doesn't seem like the people running it, in my opinion, it's like they don't care. It's not what it used to be. I don't know where I'm going. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I think that you're right. And in fairness to them, this is the problem with the way it's all set up, is they probably don't care. And I almost can't blame them. I understand, because their customers, if you're a big corporate media company, you have shareholders, and those are your customers, ultimately. And then you have your advertisers, and those are your real customers, but both of them you have to answer to. So you got to make money from your advertisers. You got to show your shareholders that you're making money for the company. Then you have your creditors. And, you know, I mean, everyone gets on the list, and who gets pushed to the bottom? Listeners and fans, you and I. And that's just the nature of the way that it's set up. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm not saying that it's okay. And I'm not forgiving those guys that, but that's the reality of it. And when you have, for instance, the demise of Q101 being on an FM signal back in 2011, that wasn't because it was underperforming. That wasn't because advertisers weren't buying advertising. The station was billing between $13 and $17 million every year pretty consistently. Whether their ratings were up or down, they were consistently billing. And at the end of the day, that's really all that matters is, are we making money? They were making money. So the reason why they killed it and they dumped out of it was because they sold to a company that had other plans and wanted to make waves in broadcasting in a completely different way, and didn't matter if this station was the greatest station on the world ever of all time, they were going to do something different with it. And that's ultimately where we stepped in, and I, you know, called MS Corporate, which was the company that owned it, and said, well, what are you going to do with all this stuff? Everything. Everything from Q101 of all time. Like, what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to put it in a dumpster? Because this other company doesn't want it. Can I buy it from you? And they said, okay.
Sweet. And now you have Q101.com. You have the apps. You have, like, how many different channels you got on that app now? There's
currently 7 different channels. You have everything alternative, which is by extension, you know, what would be if it were on the radio. It's the closest thing to what it would be like, although that's the other beauty. When you're on the Internet, a lot of those rules go out the window. So everything alternative is the main channel, the all-alternative channel. Then you got retro, you got, a classic alt, so 90s focus. You got, then there's this other faction of people that are, they want their Metallica, and they want their things that are heavier that really never were alternative. But some consultant in the late 90s started going, we don't have another place to put this, so we put it over here. And then it kind of became the way. So there's a channel for that. There's a Chicago channel. There's an EDM channel. And there's more coming. One of the ones I'm most excited about is the local 101 channel. And we have to figure out a way technically to do this, but there's some smart people working on it, is the Last Letter Game channel, and that could be a lot of fun, getting people to interact digitally and control the flow of where things go in the style of the Last Letter Game. But technically it might be difficult, but we're working on it.
Yeah, so they'd be able to like choose the music, is it?
Yeah, the concept of the Last Letter Game is the last letter of the song is the first letter of the next song, and you have to come up with a great suggestion for the next song with that letter in mind.
Wow.
So
that's cool.
It's a fun game. It's fun to interactive. And, Electro was the one that executed the game on Q101 when it was on FM. And believe me, I'd love to have her around doing it on Q101. But regardless of whether we have a human being doing it or people doing it themselves, we're going to find a way to make it so they can have some fun with it.
That's sweet. It's a really great idea. Electra, huh? She did it.
She did. She was one of the best jocks of that station's history, in my opinion.
Yeah. She was. I was listening. They put on YouTube her last comment, her last comments that she had when she was on Q101. She was pretty emotional. Now there again, you're not going to get that on radio today. There's the human factor.
Brian, nobody ever waits in line for a Pandora T-shirt.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it. Whether you have to pay for it or whether it's free, they're not going to wait in line for a Pandora T-shirt. And along those lines, they're not going to wait in line for some generic, nebulous, quasi-corporate radio station T-shirt. It is not going to happen. There are people that still have and hold dearly, and I'm one of them, by the way, their Loop T-shirt.
Yeah.
It's something to be revered for years to come. I have my kid has a Loop T-shirt, and all of my kids have Q101 shirts, and it's not the same. The Loop has been around longer, and it's a different vibe. So I'm not saying it's the same, but it's definitely in the same ballpark. The idea of having your Q101 T-shirt and being associated with that, it means so many things. There's a lot of love and fun and happy, good times, and sometimes sad times that are associated with Q101 over the years. I mean, you even look at Brian the Whipping Boy.
Yeah.
A lot of people forget, he's part of Eric and Kathy's morning show on The Mix currently. I think he also does some sports in town, voiceover stuff. Brian the Whipping Boy used to be the night slammer on Q101 for years.
Yeah.
And then he was on with Wendy and Bill, but the deal was is young girls and boys would call this guy all the time, and because he was doing nights, and that's when kids still listen to the radio.
Yeah.
And they would talk about their relationship problems or this teacher or that or whatever, and he was their guy. All of that stuff over the years is wrapped up and tied to Q101.
Yeah.
And, it's not just Q101.com or Q101 Facebook or Q101 Twitter. It's all that stuff wrapped up together, and it's a thing. And those things don't come around today quite like they used to. Even Facebook and Twitter, as popular as they are, they're not sticky in that way. Like, you're also not going to be clamoring to get your Facebook T-shirt,
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Facebook T-shirt, that's good. Yeah, no one's gonna do that. Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I had every T-shirt. I had the Loop. I had MET. I had what else? Z95. Yeah, I had all those shirts.
Yeah. Wow. You're dating yourself with the MET shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, is there a way you can't purchase that station, can you? Is there a way you can know it? You can get that one.
Wasn't any well? Yeah, MET. I don't think there's quite the affinity for MET as there as there is for Q101.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. But hey, that was back in the day, man. That was the '80s. That was wow. People would define themselves by the radio station they listened to back then. It was crazy.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and even in the '90s, they did. I mean, just think about the you know you had people that you either were listening to B96 or Q101. That was it. Yeah. I mean, if you were in a certain age range. And then later, I mean, look at the popularity of the mix and really where the mix sort of got catapulted into the stratosphere was right around 97 to 99. That's when they really took their foothold. And that's when things really changed at Q101 and went in a different direction for all intents and purposes. And the mix became a different version of what Q101 had been before then, and everyone kind of went down their different paths, and then Q101 went and grabbed ManCow to do mornings, and that changed the path of the radio station, and over that course of his tenure there, it became a very different radio station more than once.
Yeah, it became the Blaze, Rock 103.5. You know, it was...
Well, a little bit in some ways, and then they dialed it back a little bit and found their inner alternativeness again, you know, kind of around the time of the Jimmy Eat World TV commercial they put out and the bus boards. And then things got weird again in the 2000s, on and off. But again, weird to me was totally it for someone else. And that's really the struggle with making Q101 into a single channel radio station that is broadcast. Huh. You know, when you're broadcasting, you have to appeal to as many people as possible. And that's very difficult. When you're on the internet, obviously, you can appeal broadly and then narrowcast and give people specifically what they're looking for in the way that they want it. And really, as we move forward, just along the lines of what you're doing as well, that's where everything is going. People want it the way they want it, how they want it, when they want it, on whatever thing they have to get it on. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah. And so let me ask you this. Change gears just a little bit. Your thoughts on your involvement was the Q877 and like recently the TuneIn app was the 101.1 Q101 on the TuneIn app. Now, what's going on with this whole 101.1? Because there's people out there who are confused. Is 101.1, is that turning back into Q101? That's what they're saying. That's a lot of people who may not know or even understand all of that.
Yeah. It's a bummer. It makes me sad. So you're telling me that the TuneIn app reflects that 101.1 FM is Q101?
It was up until yesterday. Now it's not anymore.
Oh, okay, good. As long as it's, yeah. Well, that would be, you know, inaccurate, and we would have a problem with that, obviously.
Huh.
So that's incorrect, and that I'd like to assume that was a mistake on
someone's part.
Whoever submitted that, it was just an honest mistake. It wasn't done for any other reason than it was just a mistake.
Huh.
And then, yeah, you know, mistakes happen. But I mean, here's the deal. In 2011, the company that owned Q101 for basically as long as we've known about it, mm-hmm. in Indiana, is a company called MS. They decided to sell the radio station to a new company called Merlin. Merlin made it abundantly clear that they were going to put something else on 101.1, and it was probably going to be a news channel of some sort. So I called MS Corporate in Indiana, and I said, hey, what are you going to do with this stuff? Can I buy it? They said, yes, we made an arrangement, and then we bought it. We began running it, and the intent was to keep it alive forever on the internet and run it and bank on the future. There's a quote from Wayne Gretzky, and I'm probably going to muddle it a little bit, but it's along the lines of the reason why he says he's so good is because he skates to where the puck is going. That's how he's able to get ahead of the game. And so the concept here was we're kind of going to skate to where the puck is going, which is, you know, eventually, you know, we all have smartphones, we all have computers, everyone's going to have a tablet at some point. Your radio station coming from an FCC transmitter, you know, with a license, won't necessarily be the only way to get radio. And in fact, one day, all of these things will be on the same playing field, and you'll go to the TuneIn app, for instance, and you'll look up the station you want, you'll find it, and you'll listen to it. It won't matter if it's licensed by the FCC or if it's a traditional FM broadcast or not.
Right.
And so then what happened is, over time, the folks at that company that bought 101.1 decided that they were going to explore having an alternative station again. I was, at the time, in talks with the people that run 87.7, a whole other company, about leasing their airwaves to put Q101 on 87.7. And the only reason why I was doing that was because all of the communications that we got from the fans, all of the emails, I mean, thousands, and Facebook comments and tweets, and you name it, they were saying, put it back on the radio. And I, frankly, I didn't see that coming. I thought a generation of Gen X, Gen Y, and millennials that were totally plugged into the web would be fine with not having it on the radio. But they were like, no, put it on the radio. So I went to 87.7 and said, how much to lease your station? You're currently running Smooth Jazz. You're playing Kenny G and the Drifters. Let's party together. Let's work, you and I. And we started having a nice dialogue about it. And like it was like you're at a dance. It was like being at a nightclub, and I went to go to the washroom, and I came back, and somebody else was dancing with my date. They not only were they dancing with my date, they took my date home. And so what happened was, is Merlin, the company that owns 101 or owned 101.1, leased 87.7, and then they called it Q87.7 and used a logo that looked a lot like the Q101 logo, and just did a lot of stuff. And worst of all, all of this was happening from the headquarters that were always Q101's headquarters in the Merchandise Mart. They've just changed owners a handful of times. And so that's what was happening. And we were going nuts with it because people were confused, and it created a lot of concerns. And so now what has happened is 101.1 was sold to a new company called Cumulus, and they are one of the biggest, if not the biggest, owner of radio stations in the country, and they own WLS AM and FM in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they have an agreement to take over 101.1 temporarily and an option to buy it later, is my understanding. And they're running 101.1, and the same staff is there, and that staff is launching a new station on 101.1 that is alternative, and that has nothing to do with me at all, or Q101 at all. And as long as that stays that way, and as long as it doesn't say Q101 on their TuneIn app, we're okay. The problem is last week and the week before, there were a lot of erroneous published reports that Q101 was returning to 101.1, and that's just, you know, the media trying to hurry to get things out there before somebody else does, and then everybody aggregating somebody else's erroneous reporting. And I think a couple of those folks have fixed that. I think the Trib fixed it, and I think the Red Eye might have fixed it. Problem is after, you know, no one's going to read it now. They've already seen the headline, and so the confusion has ensued. And you know, we're doing our best to let people know exactly what we are, and that's all we can do.
And I hope you don't do this, but I hope if they offer you to lease the Q101 brand, I would just say please don't do it, because I mean, you have a passion and you care about the brand. Now, if you hand that over to Cumulus, what do you think they're going to do to it? They're going to,
you know, it's funny that you bring that up, Ryan, because some people have messaged us, and I don't see all the messages anymore. I have a whole mess of people that have been helping with social media, because I mean, there is so much interaction. When we first took the stuff over, I was doing it a lot of it myself with my partner at the time, and it just became so heavy and it was so hard to keep up. But I've seen some of the messages recently, and some people have said, well, why don't you just let them use it, or why don't you just give it to them, or whatever. And number one is they haven't asked for it. And I don't know what their intentions are or aren't, and they being the company that is running 101.1. I have no clue what they want to do or don't want to do, and it's none of my business, frankly. Secondly, I would suggest that the reason why I bought these things was because I knew that not only did the previous company not care enough about it or see the value in it to keep it, MS could have kept it and run it forever, and they could have done what we're doing. They didn't want to do that. They didn't see the value in it, and it's not their business model. Merlin could have bought it and made sure that it was part of the agreement. They didn't want to. They didn't see the value in it. It's not their business model. I have no reason to believe that any other broadcasting company is thinking or believing the same thing. These companies all think they're in the business of buying licenses from the FCC and selling advertising based on ratings, and then either going public or going private or whatever. That's I happen to see things differently, and I think that we're all in the business of sharing and organizing, and we have an audience. It's a huge audience.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously huge. I saw something recently about Steve Dahl comparing his podcasting network to how many people listen to Jonathan Brandmeier on WGN.fm.
Yeah.
And everyone at WGN is kind of pumped. Well, I shouldn't say everyone. It seems like they're pretty pumped about this WGN.fm.
Sure.
And Dahl came out and said, well, I got more people listening on my paid network than Brandmeier has on his free thing. You could take everyone that's listening to both of those things, multiply it times 100, and it still wouldn't be close to the fan base and interaction that we have directly with the Q101 audience.
Sweet.
So, I mean, it's huge. It's ridiculous. And it's not going anywhere, and I'm not convinced that a radio company knows what to do with it or how to use it.
Exactly. Good. Good, because look what they've done to WLS over there. It they've more or less kind of alienated their oldies their audience. They were on oldies station, and they put Dick Biondi on in the middle of the night. No one's listening, and it's not even.
Yeah, you know. Here's the thing. Just look at 101.1 as an example. In 2011, it was a station. Even when it was Q101. The listeners have been jerked around so many different times with so many different changes because of different personalities or motives or perceptual research studies or ratings knee-jerk reactions or measurement changes. They've changed, and because of that, the audience became fragmented and frustrated. Then the answer to that was they went, okay, well, we're going to sell it. Then another company comes in and basically does 5 different formats on that signal inside about 2 to 3 years. Now they're flipping it again. Now it's something different. It comes to a point where, imagine if the people that you were close to in your life that you did business with, every time you saw them, you changed what you're about, and you changed your name, and then you changed your perspective and your values, and you kept doing that. Eventually, people aren't going to care anymore, and they're going to think that you are a psychopath. And they're not going to want to deal with you at all. And that's what radio is doing to itself. And it's unhealthy. It's not good business. And the only – I can't do anything about that. But what I can do is make sure that we're doing the best we can to stay on course. And in a digital world, the rules are completely changed and slanted in – the little guy's favor, and that's what we are in this. We're just a little guy. I mean, it's not just me. It's a company, and there are other contributors and other employees and things, you know, as we've grown. But we're still a very small company. We're a mom and pop in all of this. And, you know, we don't want to jerk the listeners around and the fans around. We want to continue to deliver what they expect from us. And the irony is every day, every statistic is growing and going up in every way, whether people are talking about 101.1 or not. everything about everything we're doing is trending upward, not only in the United States and in Chicago, but outside the United States. The biggest growth areas for Q101, ironically, are Spain and Mexico. People in Spain and Mexico love the alternative.
Cool. Wow.
I sent a T-shirt and some stickers out a few weeks ago. I got an email from a guy who emailed me personally, and he's a Japanese guy in Japan, fancy that, and he wanted some stickers, and he offered to send like a self-addressed, you know, stamped envelope, because there's a little bit of a hinky thing about getting postage or mail into the country. He did, and I sent him some Q101 swag. And it was such a thrill, because here's this guy, and I asked him, I said, hey, man, when you get this, would you do me a favor and take a picture of you and the sticker? Because, you know, this is really cool. This is what's happening in our world today. It's, yes, it's Chicago's alternative. Yes, it's everything alternative. Yes, it feels like a Chicago thing, but it is a national and international planetary phenomenon at this point, and that's only going to increase.
Sweet. So your listenership is, you say Spain and Mexico, huh?
Spain and Mexico are the two biggest growth areas outside of the United States, yeah.
Yeah, and that seems to be where a lot of my listeners are coming from, too. I do play some alternative over my stream. But yeah, that's
love it.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So you did run Q101 over the AM 1530 for a while. So it was on the air for some time. Q101.
Yeah, it wasn't very long. It was for fun. It was also to see how it would sound. I mean, the problem is AM number one, you don't go there for music. It's a miracle to me that AM 1000 as a sports station that targets, you know, guys pretty much a little bit older than the traditional alt audience, but still that they're getting young guys to go to the AM. It's just not easy. So it, you know, we did it for a little while. We were having some fun with it and toying around with what to do on this AM station. But that was a temporary kind of putzing around sort of a thing.
Yeah, that was, it's now WCKG, it was WJJG, Joe Gentile?
Yeah, Joe, at the time, the station that I was running was owned by Joe, the call letters were WJJG. I changed the call letters to WCKG, because the WJJG call letters were either unknown to people, or they were known for things that we didn't want to be known for. And, frankly, the WCKG call letters have been around since 1985, and, a lot of people know them at Hello. And while WCKG on AM 1530 is a very different radio station today than that one was, It's nice to have a conversation with people that starts with, oh, I know what those call letters are. Cool. Okay. So, and then they'll listen to you versus something they completely don't know or they know of and don't like. And so that's the other thing we did, is change those call letters and, you know, change the lineup a little bit.
You got,
but completely independent from Q101.
Right. And you have Mancow on there, Alex Jones.
So the lineup today is Glenn Beck is on from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. The then is Alex Jones from 11 to 1, followed by a guy named Peter Schiff, who is a financial, sort of a libertarian, independent talk show host. And then after that is Dan Patrick. And Dan Patrick is, I don't know why, you know, Score and ESPN don't run that show. It's one of the best shows on radio. Mm-hmm. And I don't even really like sports radio, but I don't think of it as a sports talk show. It's like a guy's talk show. It's really well done. And Dan he sounds great. And so Mancow has been on the station for a few years, and he is he's not on currently because he's shifting syndicators, and we're just working out the details of that stuff. So he could potentially be back. It just sort of depends on how things go.
Oh, okay. So, but that's a daytime station. But you can.
It is, yeah. That's how the Score started out. When the Score was originally on 1160, I think it was 1160.
1120. 11th year. Yeah, and then they moved to 820. Yeah. I can't keep track. Yeah, but
or 820 or whatever it was. Yeah. Whatever the score was originally, it was also a daytime station. And what that means is the FCC, the government, tells you you have to turn it off at night because on the signal that you operate on, there's a bigger station in another market. And when it goes dark, when the atmosphere is dark and it's nighttime, that signal travels much further. And so you little tiny guys got to get out of the way for the big guy, pretty much. And so there's an AM 1530 in Cincinnati. I think it's Cincinnati. That is, ironically, it's an ESPN affiliate. And so when we turn off, that station literally takes over 1530. I mean, you can hear it here like it's us. And that's all night long. And there's nothing we can do about it. And then in the morning, the atmosphere changes a little bit so that our power can continue, and we turn on, and then we're on from sun up to sunset. And those hours are obviously longer in the summer.
Sure, sure. And then at night though, you guys plug into the internet. You can hear AM 1530 through the app. There's a AM 1530 app.
Yeah, the app is free, and we stream online, and so we operate the station 24/7. And so, that's another cool thing about the way everything is going. I mean, you know, there's always going to be an application for these signals, these AM signals and FM signals and all these analog signals. But it's different than the way that it was. I mean, for instance, there's times where we have more people listening at night to a station that's not even on technically on the radio. But they're listening via the stream. So it's just an amazing time to be doing this sort of stuff because, there's a great amount of opportunity, and there's people want to be able to listen to things, and everyone has a phone. There's almost nobody in the areas that we cover that doesn't have a mobile phone. Yeah, some of them don't have unlimited data, perhaps. But, you know, with the Facebook numbers being what they are and the amount of time people spend on the internet, it's no shocker that they're going to be getting their audio and video and print and everything in one way or another from a digital resource or through a digital conduit.
Yeah, these smartphones have definitely changed the way people listen to on-air broadcast. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, Just continue to grow. I mean, the iPhone, I don't even turn the radio on anymore. I just, everything I listen to comes right off my phone. I can just plug it into my stereo or whatever, you know.
It's true, but at the same time, what do you listen to when you go to look for something? Even though you're not turning on the radio, don't you tend to go to the things that you know and you love? That's what I do.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, so people that know and love Dahl, for instance, they're not going to turn on, he's not on the radio, so they're going to go find him online and listen to him.
Sure.
People that like Brandmeier are going to find him online and listen to him. People that like Q101 are going to find it online and listen to it. There's still going to be a ton of people that will tune in the radio and go, all right, well, I'm in the car right now, and I just want something that's on that's free and fine, and that's cool. But for the most part, as people become and they take over control of what they consume and how they consume it, they're always going to go to the things that they know and love first. And those things are going to help them discover new things.
Did you intern for Steve Dahl?
I did for a glorious 3 months. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was like 95, yeah. I think. He was at AM 1000. AM 1000 had just become WMVP, and it was no longer the AM loop. And
okay,
he was starting to do sports.
So he was doing the sports.
And he was the morning show.
Okay, so yeah, it was the best of times, the worst of times. Yeah, that was the sports. That was the sports. The sports era for Steve. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't doing much in the way of sports, but he was. You know, it was right after the Steve and Gary breakup.
Yeah.
It was a weird place to be because ManCal had just gotten to town.
Yeah.
So Rock 103.5 was in the building. The Loop was like the 800-pound gorilla. I wanted to intern at the Loop. That's why I went there. And the Loop, there was just a ton of stuff going on. And And then, you know, they tried to direct me to Rock 103.5 because that's where all the guys, the young guys were, and they all wanted to be there. And I didn't want to be there with a bunch of other guys doing, you know, random stuff. I wanted to work with some of the legends that I had gotten into the business to be like or to learn from or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I hit up Dahl, and it was funny because everybody wanted all those other things that were newer and shinier, and so there weren't a lot of people going after, like, Dahl internships. So I got right in, got an interview, started, and it was, you know, I don't know who said this, but it's true. Meeting people that you look up to or admire or even idolize as a potential mentor one day, when you see them or talk with them, it's almost always like seeing like Superman without his cape, and it's almost always deflating and disappointing. So it's built up on this really bad, you know, false premise that they're going to be everything that you ever thought they were in 10 seconds, you know, on the radio or whatever. And it just wasn't that way. And I've talked about it before, and then Steve's blown me crap about it afterwards and made fun of me when he was still on the when he was still on WCKG FM, but I mean, he wasn't a fun guy to be around in that time, and that's okay. I mean, it's not his responsibility to be a fun guy. He was there to do his job. I was there to learn. I got him Diet Cokes like it was nobody's business. I set up his carts like it was nobody's business. And then as soon as I had an opportunity, I jumped ship and went and interned for Wendy and Bill at the Loop. It's ironic because I think his office was on the 37th floor and the studios were on the 35th of the Hancock, or vice versa. Either way, Steve had this whole suite of offices in the Hancock. And I remember going down there, and there were literally just tapes of Steve and Gary and Steve and just audio gold everywhere. And I would beg, literally beg his producer. I'd be like, you know, I'll do the Coke thing and set up, you know, give the Diet Cokes in the cooler and all that. But then afterward, can I go downstairs and let me start, like, digitizing and archiving, and let's do something with this stuff. And the producer was so, you know, deflated. He was like, I don't know. We don't want you to do anything with that stuff. And here we are today. And that stuff is exactly what makes up, the Dahl Network. It's, you know, he's doing new shows, but he's going and giving people those snippets of their, you know, their history and their childhood or adolescence or whatever. And I think people are loving it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember listening to Steve and Gary back and then I met Steve. I think it was 93 or 94. And I just stood there. I'm like, he said hi to me, and I couldn't believe I'm actually talking to someone I've listened to for, I don't know, 10, 12, 13 years.
it's weird, isn't it? You want them to tell you things that probably they would never say to you, or you want something from these people because you listen to them and they mean something to you. Meanwhile, you mean nothing to them.
Yeah, right.
And it's not that they're jerks for you, but why would you mean anything to them? They just met you. But it's such a strange, you know, set of circumstances. It's unrealistic to expect Dahl or any of those people to be anything close to what you anticipate they might be in that moment. And I will say, there were times where I was doing things. There was these big cart decks on wheels where they had all the A-track type carts, and we'd wheel them in and wheel them out. And there were times where, you know, he'd be leaving, Steve Dahl would be leaving, and he would, you know, help me wheel it out or help me maneuver around a corner. Things that are just human being nice things that if somebody was a total a-hole, they would never have done.
Yeah.
And those were glimpses into, this guy, you know, this guy's okay, sort of a thing. But it's such an unrealistic expectation we set when we want to meet these people. I remember seeing Brandmeier in the elevator one day. And you know, there's this element, too, of like, well, I'm over here. What's it like over there? Is the grass greener? Is, you know, what are these guys doing? What are those guys doing? I had to go downstairs because Dahl's keyboard was being delivered. And it was this mammoth, like, Yamaha keyboard that was, like, bigger than me. And they brought it in, and I had to get it up the elevator. And then Brandmeier, and this was, like, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. Brandmeier popped in, and we're all in the elevator, and I'm standing there with the keyboard, and I'm thinking, like, I should say something. I'm not going to say anything. What do I say to him? I've never met him before. Oh, this is my chance. You know, like, all that stuff. And then him just looking over, and he can't stand still, this guy.
Yeah, he's like,
he literally is, like, moving back and forth, and I'm the opposite. Like, I don't really move much. And he just turns over, and sort of in his Eddie Adler voice says, oh, you got the keyboard there, eh? Like, and then I was like, yeah, I got to bring this up for Steve. And we just had a normal conversation. It was nice and normal. And then it ended, and we moved on. And he said, hey, man, take care. And that was it. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't what you imagine when you think you're going to meet, when you want to do this and you want to get into this business. You think that there's going to be some magical moment, like a young entrepreneur meeting Warren Buffett for the first time. And it's just, it's never like that.
No, it isn't. Yeah. Matt, it was great talking to you. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
I appreciate you caring. I mean, you know, not everyone cares, not everyone has to, but the fact that you do and you want to know about what's doing and share it, I think is pretty cool. So I appreciate that, and maybe you can edit out some of this so I don't sound so crazy.
No, you sound fine. You don't sound crazy at all. You sound like someone someone with a passion for radio who cares about a product. You know, you sound fine.
This is supposed to be fun. All this stuff is supposed to be fun. I'm just trying to have fun. Yeah. It's sometimes it gets real serious, and you know, it's funny because I have four little kids, and there's times where I feel like Peter Pan, you know, grew up. I remember being younger and being like, no, we got to keep having fun. Ultimately, the reason why I keep doing this stuff is to keep having fun. There's so much serious stuff happening, and a lot of it's a drag, and we're all in a position that could do cool things and have fun, and that's what radio and music and entertainment are all about. So, you know, we're looking to have fun. I'm looking to have fun on WCKG in the suburbs with people doing fun things. And with Q101, we're looking to have fun. So anybody that wants to have fun, those two places are the places to go. And whether you just want to consume the fun or you want to contribute to the fun, we'd love to, you know, connect with you in one way or another. And really, that's what I like doing. So,
well, I would love to contribute. So here's my thought. If you like this interview and you want to put it on CKG, hey, be my guest. Just kidding.
Right on. You know what? I'd be glad we can do that.
Really?
You know, it's funny. That's another thing that's changing. And I've done this on the station for a while, where I've gone to people that do podcasts and I've said, hey, you know, why don't we send it to us in this way, in these size chunks, and we'll put it on the air. And ironically, a lot of people that do podcasts think that they're doing a podcast. And then a lot of people on the radio think they're doing a radio show. And the ultimate, my opinion is that we're doing programs. We're creating programs. We're doing shows. How we get them out there isn't what defines the show. And so a podcast isn't necessarily a podcast. That's just how we're getting it out there. It's a radio show if we put it on the radio. And it's a podcast if we put it on the podcast, but it's just a show. It's just a conversation. And there's no reason why people that are doing podcasts shouldn't think of them as broadcast shows. And if you do them that way, it makes it way easier for guys that run radio stations or companies that run radio stations to consider airing them. And that's never a bad thing, even if there is no money. You know, we run Glenn Beck on WCKG. Glenn doesn't make a penny off of it directly.
Right.
But, boy, I mean, Premier loves it. They get inventory. They get commercials. You have the Blaze and his websites and all that stuff to get more traffic. So, you know, as I say that radio is going down this dark road, the reality of it is it's a great promotional tool and mechanism to get the word out there and to share with more people. And if you have websites to get them back to and engage with them on a regular basis, well, they can discover your show on the radio, and then they can engage with it whenever, however they want, online forever. So we'd love to do that.
Oh, thanks. I didn't know that would be. Wow. Well, thanks a lot. Because that meeting, it would blow me away to turn on the AM dial and hear this show on there. Wow.
Well, I think it would be better for it to be a conversation with somebody else besides me. So, I'm all over the station, and it's not because I want to be. It's just because we're very small, we're bootstrapping, and there's really only about four other employees, so we're all doing a lot of stuff. So if you have compelling, interesting interviews with other folks, I would be more interested to run those than to run the dopey interview with me. Not that you're dopey, but I'm, you know.
No, that's okay.
I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. There's other shows I can send them to you. I'd be more than happy to.
Awesome. Well, let's do it.
Okay, cool. Hey, Matt, can I get you to say this is Matt Matt, how you say your last name?
DeBeal.
This is Matt DeBeal from Q101.com, and you're listening to Dominion Live Radio?
Sure. Hey, it's Matt DeBeal from WCKG and Q101, and you're listening to Dominion Live Radio with Brian Jasek. Did I say your last name right?
Yeah, Jasek. That works. Wow. Hey, okay. Thanks a lot for coming on, and we'll definitely be in touch. I really appreciate the opportunity to put the show out there.
I feel the same way. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. I saw your YouTube video, and I said, you know, I got to get this guy on. The guy's got a passion for radio. Reminds me of someone. Reminds me of me a little bit with the love for radio. I got to talk to him.
So. Yeah, we have more in common than we have. A lot of us have more in common than we often realize.
Yeah. All right, Matt. We'll definitely talk. So you have a great.
Cool, man.
Yeah, you have a great day.
Thanks, Brian. You too. Take care.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Wow, what a great interview. That was awesome. This is a wrap. I'm going to play a little something here. In memory of Q101, I got the last few minutes of Q101 at the radio station over at 101.1. I want to air that. This has been the Brian Jasek Show for January 17th, 2014. Thanks for listening to Dominion Live Radio. And I might as well say AM 1530 WCKG.
Honestly, guys, it's been a great ride, hasn't it?
Yeah!
I honestly can't think of a more fitting way to end Local 101 and this radio station than the Smashing Pumpkins. Of course, everyone knows Smashing Pumpkins. They were born about the same time as Q101, as this radio station. I'm so sorry. Born about the same time as this radio station, and I think that this radio station has a lot to thank Smashing Pumpkins for, and the Pumpkins likewise for this radio station. And it's been a great ride. We've had a great time. I just want to say on behalf of MS Communications, the entire staff at this radio station, we have honestly loved turning you people on to the music that we have personally loved over the many, many years that we've been doing this. Thank you so much. Remember, this radio station may go away, but you guys, as long as you're loving rock music and alternative music, Chicago will not deny you. I promise you, that is a fact. Congratulations, everybody. How about it?
Yeah.
All right, we already know that after this song, this radio station is going to be just sort of segueing music in the alternative format without any DJs. But, I was talking it over with Pogo, and we decided together that we should probably sort of bookend this era.
It was much discussed all week.
Yes.
Online, on Twitter, on our texts. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to be, the overwhelming.
It's gotta be.
Overwhelming consensus.
It's gotta be.
Was how it started. And why the hell not? I mean, it's one of the number one alternative bands of all time, and it's how the thing started, so why not just,
let's play it together.
And, first of all, everyone that's in this room, all the mics are on.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Virgin.
Thank you.
Sherman and Tingle, everybody all day. We had one hell of a last day. Danny was here. Hyman Black was here. Chris Payne. Called in or recorded something for us. I mean, Fook, Nikki, Sludge,
Ryan.
Who else? Manno. It was everybody all day.
Kevin Manno.
Everybody. Steve Fisher, everybody. Alex Quigley.
And it sure as hell couldn't have been a better last day. Because it's not about us. It's about everybody.
Absolutely. Let's do it together, man. One, two, three. It's The Cure. Friday, I'm in love. Yeah. We love you, people.
Chicago, we'll see ya. Have a good night. I'm Chris Payne, your host for Local 101. We'll see ya sometime.
Love it.